Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Get ready for a little surf and turf action on Midnight Run Through, a podcast miniseries devoted to celebrating the 1988 contemporary classic action buddy comedy Midnight Run, written by George Gallo and directed by Martin Brest. Co-hosted by me, One Heat Minute Productions' Blake Howard.
And me, Jen Johans from Watch with Jen.
Each week, we'll explore the film we first bonded over when we became friends in 2019 by surfing through an incredible roster of guests from journalists to novelists and beyond who love it as much as we do. Digging into Serrano's finances and Alonzo Mosley's FBI files, come with us on Midnight Run Through as we crisscross the United States with the characters played by Robert De Niro, Charles Grodin, John Ashton, Yaphet Kotto, Dennis Farina, Philip Baker Hall, Joe Pantoliano, and company on screen. Today, our guests are...
Hi, I'm Nikki Dolson. I'm a writer. I wrote All Things Violent and a short story collection, Love and Other Criminal Behavior. And I live in Vegas. That's me.
I'm Jedediah Ayers. I used to write. Now I watch movies.
But before we go any further, let's kick things off with Jack Welch's Old Turf with the ultimate question.
Why were you so unpopular with the Chicago Police Department?
Okay, look, I'm 14, and, you know, Evanston, you know, that little north suburb, Main Streets.
Main Streets, the main streets of Evanston. That's a sentence that's never been said on a podcast before, but that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Main Streets of Evanston, Illinois. You know, Nikki was... kind of a character. You were sneaking off to James Spader movies. Did you sneak off to Midnight Run?
I did not. Honestly, you introduced me to Midnight Run.
That's right.
Yes. And you were always like talking about Midnight Run, and I was just like, okay, I know she loves Bobby. I know that. But what is it about this movie? And then, of course, you know, the gang, everybody talks about this movie. Mm-hmm. And you know, and
the gang for other listeners, Nikki, just want to be clear, the gang is, it is as cool as it sounds.
It's
a group, an international cohort of writers and film critics from around the world that really was orchestrated by Jen and her great show. It was all this intersecting friendships. We're all kind of friends of friends of friends. And during the pandemic, we really rallied around each other. So we often get together. We started out doing movie nights, and now we just get on the phone together on a Zoom chat and talk for hours and laugh and howl at Rob Belushi doing impressions and Sean Cosby stories. And we have a really fun time. That's the gang for people who aren't so familiar with the gang. But it's that's so fun, Jen. Isn't that nice? You should have seen Jen's reaction, folks. Jen was like, warmed her heart. She's like, I got another one.
My chest.
Yeah. I got another one. Excellent.
I do believe I texted Jen on, oh my God, he was hot. Look at him.
Yes, I think because also Kate Gabrielle had seen it because I wouldn't shut up about it. And so it was like, oh my gosh, you're right. He is gorgeous in this. It's like, yeah, I'm not a weirdo.
I never thought that, but you know, we all have our thing. And I was like, yeah. Oh no, he is hot. Damn it.
God, amongst being the lauded actor of his generation, he was also a total snack.
Yeah.
Indeed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't you agree, what? Jed?
Jed?
Don't you agree? Yeah.
That's the you first know thing what? You think
of. In high school, I remember a girl saying she thought he was good looking, and I didn't take her seriously. I did not think.
Did we go to high school together?
No. We did not go to high school together. I had to check on that for the Elmore Leonard thing, but no. I first saw Midnight Run actually when I was babysitting. I was a very good kid, and I started like taking care of people's pets and their kids, even like young kids. I was changing diapers at 8 years old. Babysitting kids, and so I wasn't eight when Midnight Run came out, but I was babysitting neighborhood kids, and they put it on, and it's something I never would have
you wouldn't have been allowed to watch
at my house.
No way,
ask me some stories about things I saw babysitting someday.
Well,
when we're not recording,
there's another podcast, Jedediah Ayers' Adventures in Babysitting.
But I was babysitting, and these kids,
to watch this stuff. Yeah.
That's right. They had cable, and they put on Midnight Run, and I knew I was fascinated. You know, I wanted to see it. I was aware of it, and it was new to cable. So yeah, I mean, this was probably maybe late 88, or I'm not sure what month it came out, but you know, this was like just arrived on cable, and they put it on, and I let them do whatever they wanted as long as I could watch Midnight Run. And I was, you know, scandalized by all the cursing and the you know, sex with chickens talk and things like that. But I loved it. You know, it's been a favorite from Jump Street for me. Yeah, the relationship people had with movies, watching them on cable, is kind of the same as you hear kids who grew up, you know, going to the cinema where you pay and you go in and you stay all day, in the early cinema. Then they just, you know, they come in the middle of a movie and they just stay and watch the beginning afterwards. And, you know, if it's really good, maybe they finish it again, and, you know, they just all day long. And yeah, so that was, your relationship changes to movies. And I'm sure streaming has got its own people who are coming up in streaming, you know, are going to have their own relationship to films. But it's a different thing than physical media, starting from the beginning and watching it through and things like that. Cable's not something I was, you know, firsthand experience with, but definitely recognize that the people who did, you know, and they had their one movie, you know, they watched Mannequin 50 times the summer of 1990, and you know,
that was me.
That was you.
She was the one.
Because Vader's in it. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So, Nikki, besides Robert De Niro being a snack, you're a phenomenal crime writer, and one of the things that you're particularly with Love and Other Criminal Behavior, despite the criminality of it all, there is these amazing I guess, fractured relationships and deeply relatable people that anchor all of the more extreme behavior. And so I wonder, like, if I, you know, I'm playing a game with myself, and Jen and I probably are playing this game too, is like, we're kind of like pinpointing, like guessing what our friends and what the people that we're talking to are going to tell us are their favorite scenes. But I wonder what are the kind of things that really resonate here with you, because you do have such an eye for behavior and such an ear for how people talk to each other. So I'm really curious as to what are the scenes that resonate with you the most. Obviously it's funny, but I think that one of the things that deeply resonates with me is how real these characters feel and how the way they interact with each other is just so perfect, scene to scene, tonally shifting along the movie.
Yes, yes. You know, there are so many moments. I think I was still on the fence about whether or not I really, really liked it, or if it was just like, oh, this is a good flick. Until we got to his ex-wife's house.
Believe this. I haven't seen either of them in 9 years, and the first thing out of my mouth is going to be, can I borrow a few hundred bucks?
I have a feeling this is going to be very good for you.
I'm your mother's ex-husband.
Mom! Nice kid.
Hiya, Gail.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi. They mentioned you and him on the news this morning.
They did?
Yeah.
What'd they say? Anything good?
No. Are you all right?
Yeah.
You're in a lot of trouble, Jack.
Can I come in for a few minutes, Gail? Can I come in for a few minutes?
Yeah.
And she opens the door and, you know, she's like, Jack, you know, like the deep, you know, just tired sigh. Like every time she sees him, it's a thing, even though, you, you know, hearing him say it's been 9 years, that they are still those people that they were when they were together. And you can see it like right at the end, how they're still those people. And the rest of that scene, you get all that when they start arguing and she's like, get out. And then, and you know, and then you get that moment when he sees Denise behind her mom, his daughter, and it just stops. He just stops. Everything stops. You know, they're so like the rut these two people were in, immediately they step out of it. And I just like that moment he sees his daughter and he talks to her and he's like her shoulders and just has to hug her and whatnot. And then he goes back to talk to his ex-wife, Gail, and how their conversation has shifted. You see the moment where they've grown. They're just different now.
Yeah.
Yes. And they bring out that old version of themselves, because that's where they stopped. But you see that moment, and I was, okay, no, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he says, does he treat you well? And I was like, oh, don't do a zinger back. And she's like, he does. And he's like, okay, that's all I wanted. And I'm like, okay, these people, they are still people who care about each other, which is why they still argue. But I love that moment. I loved that moment. Because it makes it more just, you know, shoot 'em up action comedy. I got to get this thing back, you know, and it's before you find out the fuller picture of who Jack is and what bringing Mardukas in is really about for him.
Yes.
That moment is what, I think, for me, sold me on the whole movie. And then everything that comes after that, I mean, it's so great. But that, for me, was that.
Well, I love that it's tailing on what Nikki said. You know, the movie is essentially a romantic film. I mean, or bromantic. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mean to suggest it's homoerotic, but it's you know, homoplatonic romance here. And you know, they're dealing with all Jack's crazy exes throughout. You know, it's Dorfler and Marscone and Serrano and his actual ex. You know, it's just they're working through all Jack's baggage so that they can really bond at the end. And it's beautiful. I love that. Another scene for me that I find really moving is the diner scene with Tracy Walter when he's Jack's lost Mardukas to Dorfler, mm-hmm. and he's walking out of the desert. He's got his ulcer. And, you know, like maybe one cigarette left in that crumpled pack and is, you know, he's dusty and dirty as hell. And he comes into this diner in the desert and there's nobody else in there, you know, and it's this, you know, I love diners. I love, you know, as someone who's displaced in time, you know, for most of my life, just, you know, I work nights and I've never had a regular sort of schedule. And since the pandemic, honestly, before the pandemic, but really since the pandemic, there is nothing available for people who are up past, you know, 9 or 10 p.m. There's just, you know, I'm starting my day. Sometimes I'm going to a bar at midnight and they're only open till 1, but I'm like, I've just got to get out of my house for an hour every day. And you know, this is the only place and I need to go read a book or something out of the house so I can feel like I don't, you know, live in a cell. And so that feeling of walking into a place, you know, I miss the 24-hour diners. There was one right up the street from my house that, you know, I've been going to for 25 years. And, you know, it's not 24 hours anymore. It's still there, but they don't have those hours. And so that feeling of walking into a place where, you know, and Tracy Walter's line to him, he says, "Are you open?" He says, "Oh, we're always open." I mean, I feel that so bone deep that, you know, I think movie diners are kind of holy spaces. I don't think that's my phrase. I think I saw that online, probably from somebody everybody knows. But and Midnight Run is an underrated diner movie. That scene where they're talking about chorizo and eggs, and they've only got a few cents between them.
I love tea.
and
the scene on the train, the dining car on the train, and the scene is at Chin Lu's where he and Eddie are hashing over their business. You know, those, it's an underrated diner movie, but that the scene with Tracy Walter, we're always open. There's grace. You know, he's like a priest in the desert mission. You know, just welcoming the poor and the downcast and you know, giving them communion of, you know, coffee and crackers or, you know, whatever. That's one of my favorite scenes. And you know, I love all the humor. I love all the action stuff, the soundtrack. You know, it's just a groovy, fun movie. But there are these moments where it stops and it really hits hard on something emotional. And for me, that diner scene really, really hits home. Well, after seeing it, babysitting those kids, I taped it off of TV. And I was able to have a taped off of TV you know, most of the curse words bleeped out version that I could watch as a teen. And I even like held my tape recorder up to the television and taped scenes off of the television, and I would listen to the tapes. So, you know, if we count all that, then, you know, then probably 50 times, but, you know, as an adult, and I gotta say, once I got once I bought a copy and, you know, had all the wonderful, cursing dialogue put back in, I was like, oh my God, I forgot how great this sounded. I've watched it, you know, I watch it every couple of years, probably, as an adult now. I've seen it a lot.
The classic.
Nikki, are you inspired to go back again after being so refreshed, like after being like pleasantly surprised about it? Is it something that you will go back to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I watched it again for our talk today. And you discover something new about it every time, I think. I really don't think I appreciated the whole Amarillo escape scene there with John and all three of them in the car. Like, I was just dying. It's delightful. It is. It's really great. I appreciate it more on the second watch. So yes, it is definitely in the on my watch list for entertainment, and just to have something in the background. And then I just know I just stop what I'm doing to watch. So that's how I am with everything. So it is definitely on the rewatch list.
I'm really struck by the alchemy here. If you think De Niro is the secret ingredient, or Charles Grodin, or director Martin Brest, or writer George Gallo,
Yafit Kota.
If you look at their, track record,
yeah,
none of them really hold. Like, it's the gold standard for all of them.
Yeah,
Martin Brest doesn't reach this heights. George Gallo doesn't reach these. I mean, Wise Guys, the De Palma movie that he wrote, comes out, and very similar sort of stuff, and it's. I'm a De Palma head, but I think it's pretty terrible. Clearly quality people involved, but it does not hit the way Midnight Run hits. And, you know, Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin both do buddy comedies, crime comedies, and, you know, they're fine, some of them, but nothing comes close to this. And, even Beverly Hills Cop, I like a lot, but it's not near as good as this one is, I think, for Martin Brest. So, and I mean, Geely, I revisited for this podcast, and it's not even as good as I remembered it. So,
oh wow, okay.
Like Geely, I thought was pretty bad, but it's really bad. It's really bad. So
I need to watch it again, because I actually was giving it a pass, maybe because I'd heard how much people hated it. And I'm like, it's not that bad. Right. Maybe I need to go back now with different goggles. Wow. Yeah.
Look, whenever anyone's like, it's the worst movie of all time, I'm like, you haven't watched enough movies.
See more movies.
See more movies.
No, you definitely haven't seen enough movies, but no, it's gotten worse, I think. I forgive the Christopher McDonald movies, the sequels where he takes over the Jack Walsh role, because there is something about the premise and the world and the characters that are really, you want to keep hanging out with them. It is a great, great movie on its own. And the sequels are not particularly good.
Equals?
There are
Jed is the one
sequels.
That brought it to my attention too. I think it was the episode I did with Blake on Heat And we're sitting there talking about Midnight Run because that's what we do. And Jen replies like, and apparently they don't know that they're sequels. And it's like, wait, what?
Well, yeah, and then Jen. Immediately Ben David Grabinski's like, the sequels are everything. And you're like, what? Like, there's a two people I've ever heard of in the world who have seen them and recommend that we watch them. They're demanding that we continue to go, Jen. They're demanding that we cover them on the show. And I've been saying to a lot of folks, like, in Australia, for better or worse, I don't ever think they were ever released in this country. Like, if they were, it was on VHS or beta. And now we've done DVD, Blu-ray, ultra high definition and streaming, and I've never seen them on DVD, not once. I don't even know if they're out on DVD internationally.
They are. They're on, like, there's a Midnight Run box, and they have all of them in there.
I'm looking right now as we're talking.
Okay. The Midnight Run Action Pack.
Yes, that's what it's called.
So I think, honestly, the mistake was to make, Christopher like McDonald, I'm not going to, well, I'm not going to blame him for taking the gig. God,
no.
But God, I think Dorfler is the guy that you want to build a series around.
Yes.
Or Eddie Moscone, you know, you want the Moscone, Bail Bonds.
Yep.
World of sort of fuck ups and irregulars.
Oh my God, Joe Pants should have had a whole franchise. Yeah.
Holy crap. And Jack Kehoe is so great in that role of Jerry. And
gonna go get some donuts. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just such great stuff. Or hell, even like a Barney Miller-esque TV show. You know, Moscone and Bail Bonds TV show would have been great. John Ashton did have an action buddy comedy TV show called Hardball that I liked quite a bit when I was, the perfect age for it. But it's maybe the closest I got to having more Marvin. And it's a totally different character than Marvin. But just you want to hang out in that world. You want to hear the scumbags, but also just the sort of lovable fuck ups chatting about how rough things are, and eating fried food and taking money out of their socks and stuff like that. And the wonderful wardrobe choices of Joey Pants and that whole crew is. Something that, and Dan Hedaya plays Moscone in the movies.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a
I watched like the first one.
Tonal shift. Yeah. So
okay, guys, it is confirmed. There is a Midnight Run 4 movie marathon DVD box set that is brand new and available for me to purchase. So
I'm not recommending that you do that. I don't want this on me that you've done this, but I'll just say I saw all of them on YouTube, so
well, you know what, I have, it feels like I would be doing the podcast a disservice if I didn't purchase it, so I think that maybe the way that we wrap up is to thank Jed in advance for me watching whatever one of these sequels I start out at first. Hopefully, I don't even know which one comes first, but I'll figure that out when I receive the box set.
Well, you're going to have a headache if you watch Midnight Runaround, because it opens up a Midnight Run parallel universe thing, because the actor Tom McCleister, who plays Red Wood,
yes,
in Midnight Run, has a more prominent role as a totally different character in Midnight Runaround.
What is this, a soap opera where they just announced?
This is some Avengers Endgame shit going on here. the timeline has been messed with. The parallel universes of Midnight Run are spinning off their axes.
Okay.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us on the Midnight Run through. Yes. We appreciate both of you and your insights and your love of crime and whether it's Midnight Diners or real, how real relationships feel. I've had such a fun time. And you can thank Jedediah Ayres when I start tweeting about Midnight Run sequels, everyone. And then if Jen wants to borrow them, I will ship them to her. Maybe it'll be a one and done. You've got them. Okay, great. Well, so then Jen and I will be watching them at a later date at some point.
Sure. I will be watching them.
I'm going to just for spite. Spite is a powerful motivator, just so that I can say that Jen influenced me to watch them. So when they arrive at my home, I'm waiting for a confirmation as we speak. I've literally purchased it while I've been talking. So exciting to to check out. Three more Midnight Runs that I'm scared are going to jeopardize my abiding love for this movie, but nonetheless, I will revisit.
Yes.
Isn't there talk of they're making a quote unquote proper sequel?
There was. Like De Niro wanted to make one. Yeah.
And it's just a guy with a diner.
Finally opened up, right? His coffee shop with his 300 grand at the end.
Hope it's a nice coffee shop, Jack. Yeah.
And it's open 24 hours, and in walks Jed and Blake.
Just sitting at different tables, drinking beer at 9 p.m.
Throwing out, you know, pearls here. Moscow and Bail Bonds, the series. The sequel, that's just a coffee shop.
We'll have to talk to George Gallo again and ask if any of that ever came across his desk. So that would be special. Guys, thank you so much. You're the best. We appreciate you. And thanks so much for talking to us.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been Midnight Run Through with Blake Howard and Jen Johans. We'll be back next week with another episode. But until then...
See you in the next life. See you in the next life.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.